This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, fart? It's the Full 90s podcast.
Oh yeah, nice
soccer podcast. I'm Gregor. He's Brandon.
And we hate you.
Do us a quick solid and click on through to Apple Podcasts
And give us a definitely 5-star rating. But I forgive you if you don't.
It's understandable.
Yeah.
But primarily, leave us a comment with what you think I said.
Let me tell you. I'll tell you right now. It's fart.
I forgot to mark it when I said it.
Well, it's right at the beginning, so I marked mine.
We just want to know your favorite ever Seattle Sounders FC player.
Yeah, from Nico Ladero to Juanico Juan Ladero.
I'm going to win. He did win.
I'm going to score a banger.
Undefended from 35 yards. This week, the League's Cup semifinalists, very important title, Seattle Sounders FC take on the Starts Like a Squeak, Ends Like a Swamp, Fartland Timberwolves. Thanks for the correction on that. That was good.
I hate when that happens.
Full90podcast.com for all of our super hot links, including all of our OnlyFans really spicy action. It's really super dirty. What is going on? Why is this podcast off to such a terrible, weird start?
We haven't done it in a while. Okay. Which, hey, you know what? Not for free. It's you can find that content on OnlyFans.
Well, yeah, it's been a couple weeks. I don't remember the last time we actually podcast or what we said or what happened. So.
I just remember that we said that Raul Ruiz Diaz was the Peruvian Batman.
Need I say more? So who do we have any idea who Peruvian Catwoman would be? That's the
oh, good question. Somebody figured that out. Any other Peruvians? Peruse? I don't know any other Peruse.
It sounds like a fruit. Like, oh, this is a delicious Peru. Anyway. Last night, in real time here, last night was the Seattle Sounders League's Cup quarterfinal against a team that the Sounders last faced beat badly. Not badly, they beat Tigres, a team out of Monterrey, Mexico. They were back for another ass-whooping, and boy, was it fun to watch. That was a fun match. Closer to full-strength Seattle Sounders FC taking the field. That was neat. Arriaga was Arriaga-ing out there. The commentary was
there.
No. I feel like he's always Warriaga.
Warriaga.
Warriaga. Oh, no.
When he hits you with the red shell, it's no, no, no.
Oh, let's get him a mustache. Let's get him a mustache.
But it's not even twirly, and it's not even big. It's just one of the ones that goes. It's a zigzag mustache. Yeah, perfect.
Like he's been electrocuted. It's perfect.
Yeah, yeah, great.
All right. So last night, seriously, the last night's match, incredible. You got your hands up. Are you under arrest? Are the cops at your house?
I walked into that match thinking.
Bloodbath, right?
Well, no, not even that. It's like, this is a something for a tournament that I don't care about. And I walked out of it thinking, I care so much that the Sounders just walloped on a Mexican team, and I hope that they win this whole damn thing.
To be fair, they had players with triple digits on the field, which is a thing that I guess that's more common in other leagues. I think you've spoken about this before, where in other leagues your kind of juniors will play in the triple digits, and I don't know why, but that's like a thing.
I think it saves, like, say if you get a Lionel Messi who goes to your club, and you would usually put your youths in numbers that, you know, typically aren't your 1 through 24 roster spots, right? Because those are the more desirable numbers. And then you put them in like number 56 or number 69, obviously. And then you have some of the higher numbers, like 99, like maybe 80, or some of the higher numbers that are more unique, that some players will come in and want to take. Now, it seems like in some other leagues, what they'll do is they'll leave 1 through 99 open to anybody. Because if a Lionel Messi comes and he wants that number 30, like he did at PSG, he gets that number 30, right?
I don't think he wanted 30, dude.
Well, he was offered number 10 and he didn't take it, according to reports.
Oh, really?
Neymar, his buddy, offered him the number 10 and he said, you're my friend. You've been at this club for a lot longer than me. Like, you keep the number 10. Number 30 is what Messi wore when he first came to Barcelona. So he's just returning to that number.
Is there a number that really signifies f*** you? Because that's what he should have worn.
4-3. That's the... That's what I'm going to say. 4-3. Okay.
I don't understand, but I'm in.
4, the number of letters in and 3, the number of letters in you.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Cool. At least it's not like T9 where it's like an 11 digit. So my dad, I have his cell phone, right? And I'm trying to hack into his Facebook to tell everyone that he died, okay? And he's got a flip phone because he was a million and he didn't want an iPhone and I didn't need him to have it because, my God, what a disaster. So I fire this thing up and I have to send a text to Facebook to prove that, like, me trying to get in is, like, a legit thing or confirmation. I have to use T9. And, like, you might not even be old enough to have ever used
T9. Oh, I have. I definitely did, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a... It was horrible, first of all. Like, the amount of texting I do to avoid talking to people is crazy. And to have to, like, type out, like, simple words, I'm like, what is this? Who came up? This is terrible.
I've always said that, like, I thought that our generation would be the generation that adapts to new technology so quickly that no matter, like, you know, our parents have such a hard time adjusting to new tech, right? Because they just didn't.
Dead.
Yeah, well, your parents, my parents are just bad at it. Sorry, Mom, I know you're listening. But I always thought our generation, but I'm at the point now where every time a new thing comes out, I'm like, I can't be bothered with it. And I just realized it's not because they aren't good at it. It's just because they're tired of, like, I've learned so much. I don't want to learn any more things. My brain is so full of other things. I can't learn more things.
Let me tell you, dude, just wait till you have a child that you have to, like, keep alive and then also try to stay up with trends. It's just... I was on a conference call today, and it was, like, with the sales staff and all these people, and my buddy Bryce is on there, too. And afterwards, I called him up, and he was like, it's so funny that now you lead in a meeting with, hey, I'm Gregor, I'm a dad, I'm... And he was like, your first thing you said was, I'm a dad. That's who you are now. You're a dad first before you say anything else. And I was like, oh, my God, what happened?
I suck.
Like, ugh.
Well, speaking of learning new things, I didn't want to learn anything about this League's Cup.
No, I still don't know barely anything.
I think the way that you qualify, in air quotes, for this tournament is to be the best four teams that didn't qualify for the CONCACAF Cup Champions League.
Okay.
So the Sounders and four other bozos in MLS are playing Tigres and four other bozos, or I guess five other bozos from... Three other bozos. I'm
Jeffrey,
an idiot.
Jeffrey Bozos. Sorry, it's just stuck in my head.
And so you basically have just like, I think Liga MX, who is in their preseason at the moment, or they're in the off season. This is kind of like a warm-up tournament for them. It's basically trying to make a way for the Sounders, who would traditionally play two or three friendlies, you know, throughout the year, into something that's like, well, at least these friendlies could culminate in a trophy, which will ultimately just be being played between two of the Liga MX teams.
So weird, dude. I don't understand. Like, there must be a paycheck involved in it, right?
There well, must there be is. Yeah, there's a of. There's a financial reward if you're the team that wins, and then there's a really stupid looking trophy as well. We're not going to post it because it is just like so stupidly ugly. That said, you go into this match, and that match was fun. I watched the whole dang thing. I thought it was very, very fun. All I was expecting is the best and the worst of CONCACAF, right? Like, just ridiculous things. But every single time Tigres has come up to the U.S. to play against Seattle, Seattle just does something ridiculous. You have the year where Jimmy Traore and DeAndre Yedlin both scored, like, ridiculous bangers from deep. and then you have this match where Raul Ruiz Diaz drops a Panenka on the goalkeeper during his penalty kick. You have Nico Ladero, you had Freddie Montero score a goal, which is basically Seattle playing Tigres 10 years ago. And then you had Nico Ladero walking the ball from his own half, undefended, the best player probably in MLS, walking the ball all the way to the top of the 18 and just being like, I guess I'll shoot if nobody else is going to do anything. And then just curling it into the top left corner in his like one of his first matches back from not playing for months.
Shame on that goalkeeper, right? Like, he had nothing but a total view of it the whole way. Like, I don't actually blame him, but yeah.
The Tigres defenders were just like, bet you won't.
He's like, okay.
Okay.
Hold on, let me just get my feet sorted out. Okay, now I'll do it. You guys ready? Yeah, it's pathetic, dude. Now, I'm looking at the Leagues Cup bracket. I didn't realize that it's literally just eight teams.
Yeah, they call it the quarterfinals, but there is no, like, the qualification is just being one of the four second best teams in MLS or in Liga MX.
Yeah.
So you have these four teams from the U.S. who jump into this tournament. The Sounders win their match 3-0. Sporting Kansas City loses 6-1. They got a touchdown scored on them by a team from a country that doesn't even know what a touchdown is.
Oh, the NFL is big in Mexico, buddy.
No, I know. Still... They have those big games in Mexico City every year. They're very cool.
New York City, NYCFC is the only team left to pull. No, Orlando.
No,
also.
Orlando this also, is... yeah.
This is wacky, dude. I can't believe it's only an eight-team tournament. We're supposed to get excited about it. It was exciting, but it's very baffling to me.
On the other end of it, with no Open Cup this year, there is no secondary tournament for the Sounders to be playing in. And then you play three games and you have a chance to win a trophy. So it's like the Desert Diamond Cup of international competitions. It's like you
Everyone
don't care about
middle.
It unless you
Tucson.
Win. Yeah.
It was a fun time, though, and it was fun to see, like you said, Nico Ladero come out there and get a good shift in. It was fun to see Raul Ruiz Diaz and Christian Roldan.
I give myself so much crap when I listen to our podcast, when I listen to it back, because I'm a narcissist and like to hear myself talk. When I listen to our podcast back and I hear myself say slip of the tongue, Raul Roldan, Christian Roldan instead of Christian Roldan, which is apparently the way that you're supposed to say it. I'm like, Brandon, come on, man. You need to say it right. You need to say it right. Then you go on to listen to this Leagues Cup broadcast with Sebastian Salazar and Hurt Gomez, and they overemphasize almost every single player's name.
and then
they say Christian Roldan.
It's first of all, he's a Salazar that I like better than the referee, so that's
obviously
points in his credit. It was interesting that when you told me that everyone was so in love with how chummy the guys were in the broadcast booth, because I was like pulling my, I started off watching it in Spanish and was like, well, this is fine, I guess. I would hope that they would broadcast this in English since they're trying to make a big deal out of it being Mexico and the U.S.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
come on, Baxter. Luckily, Brandon with the save telling me that it was also on ESPN. Weird that when I searched for it on my Xfinity, it served me up the Spanish language one and not the English language one, but that's fine. After a few minutes of watching the English language one, I was like, I might go back to Spanish. This is... It was torn. The commentary review was torn. They are chummy and they were fun, and I do appreciate how they seem like friends that are having a fun time doing that. As a guy who has done that myself with my friend, Manly and I were able to have a good time sounding terrible and whatever. I would do it 100 times again, so...
It was fun. Like, Hurt Gomez was tweeting during the match at people who were criticizing him or telling him that they liked him. You'd like hear him say something live on the broadcast and then see literally within 1 minute a tweet from him. So apparently ESPN not paying Hercules Gomez enough. What I did like from having Herc on the broadcast was the fact
that I prefer broadcast.
Broadcast. I mean, really, that's what this is. What I liked from having Hercules on the broadcast was that he having played for the Sounders and having played under Brian Schmetzer and having won an MLS Cup with this team in 2016, has a lot of insight into this team, into playing with Nico Ladero, into playing with a lot of those guys. So for the first time in an international match between the Sounders and a Mexican team, it kind of felt like a Sounders, like a pro Sounders broadcast. So it was actually, I kind of did enjoy that part of it. You didn't have to have, like, for once, you didn't have to have Marcus Hanneman being like, well, we and us when he's talking about the Sounders. You just had Hurt Gomez talking about how good the Sounders are because they are.
Yeah. They put on quite a show. It was not a stretch, like you say. Like, it's I totally forgot that he played for Seattle, so that's also shame on me. But
yeah. Well, the one thing, though, I can't forgive him or Sebastian Salazar or whoever it was that said it, is that at one point they're talking about Jordan Morris, talking about how crazy he has been playing on the team, how he's been injured, and how it is amazing that as a local kid, it is cool that he plays for this team. And then they
homegrown
started,
player.
Yeah, they started talking about Mercer Island, which is where Jordan Morris grew up. It's where he probably still currently lives, maybe with his family. No, he's married now. He probably lives with his wife. Anyway, Mercer Island, the name Mercer Island, they were wondering, is Mercer Island on the water? And then he kind of caught himself and he was like, well, I mean, I guess it's probably on the water. That was kind of a dumb question. And I was like, no, you know what? It could be like a traffic island.
Welcome to Ohio Island.
So like, maybe, I mean, there is a lot of traffic on Mercer Island, but maybe Jordan Morris just grew up homeless standing in the middle of a freeway.
Not in Mercer Island, dude.
No, definitely not in Mercer Island.
They don't tolerate that at all.
They kick those people out.
Dr. Morris is like, sorry, kid, hit the bricks.
Yeah.
I struggle with this. In the match itself, there was a guy who kept flopping around. I don't even remember his name. Quinones, I think.
Yeah.
And I struggle with this because it's never nice to make fun of somebody for things that are out of their control. You know, some people... I can't think of a good example right now of the former president. It's really fun to make fun of him because he dyes himself orange and you're like, well, you're an idiot. You look like an idiot. And that's a choice you're making. Someone who is bald, making fun of them for being bald is not cool because usually that's not by choice. And so, like, don't do that. There is the rare occasion where choice and nature meet. And it was with that Quinones guy because I've never seen a guy as cocky about his hairstyle for having such a receding hairline, and I couldn't stop looking at it. And I'm not trying to be rude because my hair looks stupid too, don't get me wrong, but my God, you're really leaning into it.
It's just, it's not the fact that he has a receding hairline.
No, of course not.
It's the fact that he decides to then accentuate that receding hairline with very blonde hair. Yeah. I mean, like Sadio Mane does it in the Premier League on Liverpool, right? He has a kind of weird hairline, and he does all sorts of cool things with his hair, and maybe it's kind of being like, you know what, I'm going to work with what I got while I got it. So maybe there's a little bit of that, but that guy also sucked. Not Sadio Mane, Quinones. Quinones?
Yeah, he kept trying to dive for the PK call, and it was such... He should have been carded for that.
Don't you think you'd do that a certain amount of times? Like, it literally, every time he got near the box, he would fall. Even when it probably would have behooved him to continue to try to make the play because it would have put pressure on the Sounders defense, allow more of his guys to get up. He just continued to like flop. And at some point you're like, hey, that might have actually been a penalty, but you've already discredited yourself for the first, you know, 60 minutes of this game.
Yeah. Terrible, terrible. And like, as soon as I see someone continue to do that and have that, those choices that he's making, I'm like, oh dude, you're fair game now at this point.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm going to think about that guy forever. In the that's what I'm going to take away from Tigres, is that guy's choices.
So we do have to talk about a couple things. How am I doing that? Oh my gosh, I'm looking on our work. I just found a new little hotkey on accident on our Google Doc. Look at this. I don't know if you can see where I'm at, but look at this.
I can't see where you're at. Look at you. You're typing the Delta variant right now.
I am. I don't know how I'm doing that. No wonder it's spreading so fast. People keep accidentally discovering it on their keyboard. He scores when he's tired. He scores when he's tired. Freddie Montero, he scores when he's tired.
What? Was he tired?
The last two matches that Freddie Montero has played in and scored for the Seattle Sounders, he gets subbed off immediately. So I feel like he has this like coded conversation with Brian Schmetzer that's like, most players will look to the bench and they'll do the little finger thing that I'm ready for a sub, I'm injured, I'm tired, or whatever. They just like do a little finger thing. Freddie Montero just scores a goal and Brian Schmetzer's like, oh, he must be tired, he's got to come off. And both times it's for Nico Lodero. So
what do you think? Do you think Ken Griffey Jr. had like a signal that was like, hey, I'm going to go catch a nap in the clubhouse? Or is that like a...
Yeah, he would hit a home run and then he'd be like, all right, I'm going to go sleep.
He was not hitting home runs.
Not at that point. Not at that point.
No. He struck out three times? That's a signal. He'll be in the clubhouse.
Maybe not making fun of people for things that they can't control, but hey, if I gain 3 pounds in the next inning, that means that I got to go take a nap.
Well, now this podcast is just fat shaming. Amazing. Here we go.
Fat hand hair shaming, okay?
Hey, I noticed something from the sideline. I didn't see all match. Gonzalo Pineda wasn't out there yelling and hustling and getting animated. What's going on?
People were mad at me on Twitter last night because somebody else made that same comment, that same discovery.
No way.
Sounder at Heart was like, Gonzalo Pineda is not on the sideline. Now, there have been rumors swirling, and apparently Gonzalo Pineda is a front runner for the new and vacant Atlanta United head coaching position. Gonzalo Pineda, as an assistant coach for the Sounders, has been amazing, biding his time most likely until he can get a head coaching position somewhere else. He's been listed as a name in a lot of open positions. Now, he's gone on the sideline. Somebody made that acknowledgement, and I tweeted out that, would you say that he is gone, Zo? And there was a lot of, dude, too soon, we're super sad about this. And hey, I get it. Gonzalo Pineda was one of my favorite players when he was a Sounder, so I am not happy to see him gone. But good for him to go to go get that kind of job. And he can't sit. I mean, he might want to be the head coach of the Seattle Sounders, but he can't sit and wait for Brian Schmetzer, who's having obviously the best, probably one of the best seasons in Sounders history, and of his career, most likely, to bide until he maybe retires. So like, Schmetz could coach for another 10 years. So who knows how long it could be until Pineda could take that job.
And you always want to see that the caliber of the coaching staff can move on to do other things, because it's not just the head coach that's doing such a great job. It's that he's creating the next generation of awesome head coaches as well. Once upon a time, I got to go down to the pitch side for whatever reason. The Sounders were being cool. And the team was warming up, and we were watching. It was when Stephen Fry was pretty new, and he looked like real shaky out there warming up. And Pineda went running by, and I was like, all right, Gonzo. And he stopped. He was like, hey, man, thanks. And I was like, I don't know what to do right now. I was just being supportive, and now we're talking. And he was like, okay. Like, ran off, and I was like...
Did you say those things out loud? Hey, I wasn't expecting you to acknowledge me. I don't actually want to talk to you. I just want to do that thing where I yell at you, and you just kind of wave.
Why have I started taking off my pants? Huh? This is not the appropriate response. Anyone who's had a child knows that will sometimes just happen in meltdown. The kids just like
take off their pants.
They start taking their clothes off when they get super frustrated. It can be very embarrassing if you're in the wrong location. Okay, don't. Right, Brandon taking notes.
Keep an eye pants out off for pants. Pants. Okay, pants. Okay, great.
Just wait till if you have a boy, wait till the child says to you, declares to you, my wiener is up in public.
I had a friend who told me about his first experience with that. And he said that he
remembers?
As a kid, he went, well, the first time that he does remember it happening, he walked up to his dad and said, Dad, look. And his dad just goes, huh, that's weird. And he just walked away.
Now your friend is a sexual deviant.
Yeah, he has some complex around his penis, so it's great.
Join the line, kid. All
right. Hoping that two new sounders don't have a complex about their wieners.
Wait. Before we get to wieners and sounders, I have one more question just based on the broadcast from this Salazar kept going on and on and on about how Nico Lodero, or Juanico Walodero, is the greatest Sounders player in the franchise history. And I immediately get chuffed about that because I don't like when something like a current something is the best ever. I don't know why. I just like, it's like when someone asks me what my favorite band is, I'm never going to be able to answer that question because I like 10 bands so much. And so to pick one is really hard. Is Nico Lodero the best player in Sounders franchise history?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. I think that he immediately made the team leaps and bounds better when he came on. In 2016, he led the Sounders to an incredible comeback in the second half of the season to the MLS Cup final, which they won. Yeah. He has consistently played at that level or higher since then, scoring goals, setting up goals, just doing everything on the field. Now, I think you could argue for a lot of other players. You could say that Freddie Montero has a case, given his only few years with the Sounders early on, right? You could say that Clint Dempsey, who has only just been surpassed as the leading goal scorer in club history by Freddie Montero, even has a case for that. Ozzie Alonso, obviously, played for so long and so well at such a high level for this club. But did he have the impact that led this team to two MLS Cup trophies in that amount of time? Yes, there's Open Cup trophies that have been won, and there's a Supporter Shield that's been won. But I think Lodero has gotten this team closer to that pinnacle more often than not.
More importantly, the MLS Cup that they lost in Toronto, they lost it because Toronto figured out how to shut him down. Mm-hmm. His absence on the field that night was a bigger loss than it was an equally big loss to the contributions he made elsewhere.
Now, I think that there are, just looking at last night's match and the run of form that the Sounders have had recently in league play, not been great, right? Looking at last night's match, having a fully fit Christian Roldan back on the field, having Nico Lodero come back in, Christian Roldan changed the way that the Sounders play completely,
for sure.
Right? Absolutely changed it. He's running up and down the field. He's challenging for balls. He just, like, every time I saw him do something, I was like, oh my gosh, like, he is just an incredible, like, how is he not playing in Europe or anywhere else other than, like thankful that he isn't, right? Because he's such a good player. As soon as Nico Lodero came on the field, he took that to an even higher level. The way that he came in and started making passes that it, like, at one point he made a pass toward goal. He received the ball at the top of the box and he played this, like, really silky smooth through ball toward goal. And Raul Diaz looked like he hadn't been receiving those types of passes in 4 months because he hasn't been, because Nico Lodero hasn't been there. I think as soon as those two guys are vibing after Nico Lodero has a few more games under his belt, like, that pass ends up in a goal every single time. Like, as soon as those two get back on the same level and Raul Diaz starts to be like, oh, I'm not waiting for, like, Will Bruin holdup play to maybe end up in a ball at my feet. Like, that's what Nico Lodero brings to the team, is that he just can do so much and so well.
I would argue that the beginning of the season, Christian Roldan was as important as Lodero has been this season. This season, Christian Roldan has been as important as Lodero has been in other seasons, that he was, like, so clutch. And when he was gone for a month, Seattle really felt that. You could see how now they don't have anybody doing that. And so Roldan might be it might be just a step down from that top class that is Lodero, but, like, not by much. He's such a driver in this team. Still, Lodero better.
if Roldan spends his whole career with Seattle, yeah, and which he's a young guy still, right? He might reach that echelon. I would say that he's already in the Ozzy Alonso echelon as far as like in the talks of one of the best Sounders of all time.
Yeah,
right?
You put him in your best 11 sure. for Sounders of all time.
100%. I still think Nico's the top. Not that these like, as I've been saying to a lot of people recently, my opinions about anything don't change anything about anything. So, yeah, yeah. But I still think that most people, MLS included, I would say Nico Ladero isn't just one of the best Sounders of all time, but one of the best players in MLS of all time.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you kind of said that at the top. Another player that I would put into the contention that doesn't get mentioned by anyone ever is Stephen Fry.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
I mean, that hand of God and the whatever they called that, that save sure. that he made in MLS Cup was bonkers, and then the consistency and to be overlooked year after year for being having the best goalkeeping numbers for some reason is very odd. And then the important part for Ladero that I think puts him at the top of this list probably is that he's not playing Dempsey style where he shows up and what do you call that, like sunsets his career in Seattle. He's playing his prime here. And so for him to be here at his best and for hopefully to stay until he does retire or returns home for the last couple seasons and sunset somewhere else, that's the big impact. I think even with like Rui Diaz, if you get him to stay for a while, he's another really important player that doesn't do as much all over the field but is in his prime and says a lot about the health of the club and of the league as well. I think it's really interesting. I don't know anything about like the complexities of this or whatever, but Josh Sargent, the U.S. National team player, signing to Norwich. Everyone's real excited about that, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of disappointing. I feel like if he gets as much, I don't know a whole lot about him, but like if you're looking at Pulisic, that's playing for Chelsea, that's a significant step higher than Norwich, who could be around for one season then go back down. Like the odds say, statistically over the years, that is what will happen, is that he'll end up back down in the championship again. And I don't know if it's better that he's playing for Norwich than he was at Werder Bremen.
Yeah, before.
I don't know the answer to that, but I was like really surprised to see that too. That's unrelated. Sorry, just a tangent that I had written down.
So. Yeah, but if I saw, like, it's when Jordan Morris went on loan to Swansea and perfect. Not some Premier League club, for instance.
Yeah.
Christian Roldan were to, well, that's what I'm saying. He wasn't signed by a Premier League club at striker. He was signed by Swansea, a championship club. If Christian Roldan were to go do the same thing, I'd say, dude, your ceiling is so much higher than that.
Oh, I disagree. If Christian Roldan made it to a championship squad that was fighting to be promoted, I think that's right where he's at. I think that Roldan is not a Premier League level player. I think he's a guy that grows with the team into the Premier League and then has a chance to show off. He's like a bench player for a Premier League team in the bottom half of the table.
Hmm.
Because he's not – Pulisic is a whole – or Pulisic.
He's a freak of nature.
Yeah, he's just like another level better than most of the other players on the U.S. men's national team. Roldan is that second U.S. men's national team wave of people. I argue that he should be in the first.
Yeah, I think making his case in the Gold Cup and in the Nations League, which, wait, we now have the Nations League, the League's Cup, the Major League Soccer, soccer.com.com.
Cool. Speaking of Josh Sargent getting signed somewhere else, we have a couple signings for Seattle that I just want to touch on really quickly. One of them, some French lad, and the other one, I don't even remember. Oh, the Brazilian.
Yeah.
Chu. Yeah. What do you know about him?
Leo Chu, signs for Brazil from a team called Grêmio. And he, I don't know how you pronounce it, but I'm going to assume it's that. Every time I read it, I'm like, Grimace? Oh, no, Grêmio. Okay. He's a winger. He's a young guy. Garth Lagerwey called him an attacking new who. So he's already my new favorite Sounder.
No, second favorite. Second. Come
yeah.
On.
Yeah. Okay. So he's a winger. He's going to be a guy that's hopefully quick. He's like 22 years old. So exciting to start to see the Sounders get some young guys in this club who could grow and expand with this team. Untested, unproven. Played pretty well for his old club, but will be interesting to see how that translates to MLS. The other guy that the Sounders go sign is a little bit less of a big signing. His name is Nicolas Benazet. He's a French nerd because the dude, his like profile picture is a manga character in a Sounders FC jersey.
That's awesome.
His bio on Twitter is manga's addict. So the dude is just like a big dweeb, just one of us, one of us.
Yeah, right.
He comes to us from Colorado Rapids, where he's kind of on the outs with them. A lot of people are very underwhelmed by the signing of Benazet coming to the Sounders. But that said, I think the Sounders have done a really good job in the past of like finding players that fit strengths that other teams might not have. Look at, Will Bruin wasn't doing too hot with Houston Dynamo anymore. That just could be because they were Houston Dynamo. But the Sounders go pick up him. Harry Ship, Kellen Rowe. You have like Jimmy Madranda, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
All of these players who might not be like, they might be passed over for other more talented players on their team, but you know, have a place on the traffic island of misfit toys here in Seattle.
Yeah, you just need depth. That's what you're talking about. Is that the Sounders showed that they got hurt and had a bunch of guys off in international, and suddenly you got a real thin squad where you're playing a bunch of teenagers on the road for their debuts and hoping that they can shine. And it's, you just want some guy that's got a little rust on him, so that way he can, not rust, but like you don't want him rusty, but you know, you want a guy that's got a little wear and tear on him, so he knows what it's like to be out there. It's not, if he has to be put in a clutch circumstance, he maybe has been there before.
I'd still love to see players like Adeniran from Tacoma Defiance, who got a little run out. I'd still love to see him get some opportunities because I loved what I saw from him in the couple MLS matches he was able to play. But I think you're right. Like building some depth, building some experienced depth with a guy like Benazet, while you also bring in a young guy like Chu, which, again, the whole Nuhu thing, this guy's last name is Chu. Come on. He's an attacking choo-choo.
So instead of a new who, he's a new choo?
Yeah, he's a new choo.
Okay. Yeah. The new who choo.
The new choo. The new who choo-choo.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Is it the Chunu?
All right, big matchup on Sunday. Bartlett Timbers hosting Seattle Sounders FC. A chippy affair, these things tend to be. After going winless for three, the Timbers finally got 3 points over against RSL on the weekend. They will, of course, be playing with different fuel in that tank because you always get up for a rivalry like this. Pretty crazy that two matches in about 3 weeks between these two clubs going head-to-head this weekend and then 2 weekends later doing the opposite here at Lumen Field.
That big doubleheader in that 2 weeks time on the 29th, that's going to be crazy. I think that the Sounders are going to want to win this one away. I mean, you think about the obvious, they're going to want to win every game, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I get it. But the Sounders having like the lack, I suppose, of success in the last few league games are going to want to, you know, turn that around. I think running out a starting lineup against Tigres and dominating that team is, I think Brian Spencer is trying to build momentum to show like, hey, you guys, when you're at full strength, can kick anybody's ass. So get that run out against Tigres, come right back in, play Portland away, and do the same thing. And then in 2 weeks, let's do it again.
Getting the road points would be huge, huge to go into their house and shut them up. And the team, their squad's not great. They've dealt with some injuries and whatnot, but like Mora was out forever. I think he's back and scoring again, which is good for them. But the idea that you got Amora, you got Achara, you got the other Chara, who might actually be missing this match because of a red card from their last match. I can't remember. I think Diego Chara was down with a red. We should actually know this.
Against RSL?
Yeah, I think that he let... Hold on. Oh, okay, it was San Jose. Never mind. So he'll be back. Yeah, so you're talking about a pretty good squad. It won't feature Ababassi, though.
No, so the red card that he got against San Jose happened in the same day that the Timbers traded away Ababassi to San Jose. Yes, I didn't mean to start it, but Jeremy Ababassi, I think is how you say his name.
To finish.
Ababassi, that's where we're holding.
Ababassi, yeah.
was one of their best players this year. I don't think maybe getting. The playing, not playing in the position that he might have preferred. Maybe he asked for the trade or for the transfer. But yeah, he got traded over to San Jose for like $50,000 in GAM, which who knows what that means. Maybe it was more. I don't know. But either way, a really good player for
it's
them.
Like Twitch
not,
money.
Exactly. not going to be on the field for any future Sounders Timbers matches.
That's okay. Well, that's good for the good guys then, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know really. I'm like really struggling with how I see this one going because the Timbers have been such poor form, and you know, sixth in the West with 23 points you have here. That's not great. Like obviously, I don't have to say that, but like Sounders second in the West behind Sporking Kansas City. So, and Sounders have been looking good all season, and they're coming back full strength on the road. You could possibly see a start from Ladero if he's match fit for it, or maybe 60 minutes out of the front end instead of 30 on the back. Man, I think this could be so fun.
60 minutes on the front end and 30 on the back is definitely the name of our next tape on OnlyFans.
Dude, gross. I'm married. How dare you?
So am I.
All right, take a look into the Crystal Pepsi ball, the swirling effervescence, and Brandon, tell me what you see for Sunday night's matchup, a 5:30 affair between Fartland and Seattle in Fartland, where it smells like stinky farts.
It does. I think the Sounders are going to rock in and just destroy Portland 1-0. I'm hoping it's off of a goal from Nico Ladero. I think that they might be able to score a couple of goals, and I think they're going to need to. Their defense has been great. The Sounders' defense has been great. However, they gave up a really crappy goal in their last match against, was that Kansas City that they drew 1-1? Either way, they've just had a couple like really crummy games, and so I'm hoping that they rock into this one and are able to pull out a shutout.
I'm going to say that Seattle is going to pull a Leon on Sporting Kansas City to Portland, and it's going to be 6-1 Sounders.
I'll take it. I will take it.
All right. In case this podcast was too long and you didn't listen, it's too long, didn't listen.
You didn't listen because you're not a narcissist like me. All right. Too long, didn't listen.
Mercer Island is evidently now waterfront property.
Good for them. I feel like it's an up and coming neighborhood, and you know, it's really really nice that it's starting to be gentrified by Jordan Morris. Too long, didn't listen.
Mercer Island is also the Mercer Traffic Island. One more time.
Too long, didn't listen.
More like Mercer Traffic Island of misfit toys.
Jimmy, which misfit toy is Jimmy Madronda? I should go back and watch that movie and start assigning Sounder in the most obscure reference of all time.
please do that. Great. We'll see how many I understand.
Yeah, great. Too long, didn't listen.
On Sunday, do you start Sissoko or do you get a zigzag mustache and start Warriaga? I'm gonna win.
It's Wavier Hoyaga. No.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We do a live show called Nerd Talk Plus every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on the Odyssey app. Download it today and listen to us there. Yeah, thanks. Talk to you next week, Never.
Hot rubbish. Hot rubbish.